Monday afternoon. Welcome back to the whole show powered by PDC Energy. I'm live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studio. Zach Stevens joining me now of DNVR Broncos, Broncos Insider. Zach, my man, the Broncos found a way to get this thing done. It seems like it took, 4 years to get this game scheduled, but somehow, some way, we got it done. Broncos get it done and they get their second win in a row.
Exactly. And it seems like it took them 4 years to figure out how to win these type of games. It seemed like deja vu all over again in the fourth quarter when things just started to implode. But, man, the defense just held them off just that much. And the Broncos now have won two games back-to-back when it seemed like they were blowing games. And in the past 4 years, they would have just let those games be lost, but instead they hung on both times.
All right, so talk to us about the deep shot there. We're what, 3:20? I don't know exactly, Zach, but 3 minutes left or so. Broncos have the ball, trying to run this thing out and get out of there with the win. But 1st and 10, Drew Lock goes deep, interception. What's Coach Fangio say about that?
Yeah, well, we just talked to Coach Fangio about that, and he said they'll reevaluate and see if those were the right calls to make. And I think it's very easy to look back and say those were the wrong calls to make. He said they were trying to be aggressive there, which is very obvious and clear, and they were trying to be aggressive all game long, and I loved that. I loved that they were aggressive in the first half. I loved that they tried to be aggressive in the third quarter and at the beginning of the fourth quarter, but you got to know when to just take the pedal off and say, okay, you know what? Let's hand the ball off to Phillip Lindsay, who has a 100-yard game right now, over 4 yards per carry, and let's milk this clock out, because I love how aggressive the team was, but you do have to be smart. You can't be reckless about being aggressive. So I think when Vic goes back and looks at it and evaluates it with Pat Shurmur, he'll probably say, you know what, in this situation next time, why don't we just hand the ball off here? Or if we do want to throw, why don't we just do a little easy pass over the middle where there's not a chance of a pick?
Zach, sometimes, now let me just qualify it. On the defensive side, nobody can touch Vic Fangio. I mean, I loved the aggressiveness, putting the blitz on there late to end that game, essentially. I love that side of it. But these seem like, I don't know, man, they seem like kind of obvious mistakes. We go all the way back to the Titans game and the timeout situation, the way the Steelers game went down. It just seems like some of these are obvious situations. I mean, I don't necessarily mind throwing on 1st and 10, but a deep ball and Drew Lock's just kind of getting back in this. First off, we don't even know if he's that guy yet that can do it. So I don't know. Maybe I'm being too critical, but it just seems like there's some obvious choices that aren't being made.
Yeah, and I mean, that's very fair. And on that one, I think Pat Shurmur deserves a lot of blame
sure.
for that, just as much as he deserves a lot of credit for the deep shots earlier in the game, which not only backed up the Patriots, but then it set up some big play opportunities for the Broncos offense as well. But yeah, I think the finger does need to be pointed there. Now, Drew obviously didn't make a great throw either, so I think there's a lot of blame to go around there, and especially when you're coming off an interception just the play before on offense. So back-to-back interceptions, Drew Lock finishes the fourth quarter with a 0 passer rating. But with all of these mistakes, and what we've been saying in the past 4 years when they've had these mistakes is, boy, how do they overcome these mistakes to win? Well, now the Broncos say, okay, well, we won. Now how do we make these mistakes better so that we can, hang with the Chiefs, et cetera?
Zach Stevens joining us from DNVR Broncos. And I mean, there's a lot of highlights to get to. Let's shift back over to that defensive side. As you pointed out, defense was stellar in this game. I mean, if you could only score 18 and it's only field goals, I don't know you're going to win many games unless your defense is playing lights out. Let's start with that defensive line. Shelby Harris knocking down a couple of footballs. One leads to an interception. I kind of feel like that got the ball rolling, so to speak, for this defense. Gave him some confidence early on.
Oh, it absolutely did, especially because this was, Cam Newton's first game back after missing with COVID, and a lot of people were high on Cam, including myself. And when the defense got that stop early in the game, it showed, okay, yep, we can do this. Cam isn't going to just steamroll over us. And that was huge because it also got the turnovers going. The Broncos going into this game had only two takeaways on defense. In this game, they had three. Anytime you do that, you are very, very much putting yourself in a good position to win. And the Broncos did just that. And then they also got sacks. So the two things that the Broncos defense had not been good at coming into this game was sacks and takeaways. And they were able to do them both from guys that a lot of people hadn't even heard of. You know, Deshaun Williams diving to get that interception off the Shelby Harris tip. And you have Michael Ojemudia forcing a couple of fumbles, and Malik Reed getting two sacks, one that was absolutely crucial with just over a minute left. So it's a big testament to all of these guys and also to Vic Fangio for not being afraid to dial up the blitz. He did it against the Jets, and it worked. He did it against New England, and it worked. I would love to see that aggression continue on defense.
Yeah, and maybe if you get an A.J. Boye back in the mix, it helps with that coverage even more. You got to like what you saw. Obviously, Kareem Jackson, I don't know that I've seen many bad games since he's been in a Broncos uniform, but he was flying all over the place. Justin Simmons, I felt like maybe that was his best performance. And then you had this the defensive backs. I mean, guys were all over the place. You see Bryce Callahan get that interception. You love to see it. So I love the pass rush, but you also had the corners and the safeties doing their part.
You do, and that's what's really incredible is you're without your number one corner right now. So you have a rookie, Michael Ojemudia, stepping in, who not only played great coverage defense, but he forced two fumbles, had a batted down pass, was the third leading tackler on this team. I absolutely love what he showed. Of course, he's had some rookie mistakes. He got burned in Pittsburgh, but overall, I love what he's done. Bryce Callahan looks like the dude that they went out and paid $7 million to last year. He had that pick yesterday, and the defense really seems to be hitting their stride. And coming in to the Vic Fangio era, it took Vic about 3 years in pass stops where he's been to get his defense truly clicking. So maybe it shouldn't have been as much of a surprise that the defense was good last year, but not great. And now maybe we're seeing that defense starting to click in about year one and a half under Vic, even without all of these players, including Von Miller.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. Von Miller, Jarrell Casey, without those guys, who knows what it'd look like. But you got to be happy so far, or at least the last couple of weeks, with the progression of all of these guys. Going back even on the offensive side of the ball, this offensive line, they were run blocky. I loved Philip Lindsay's running, but man, didn't it just look like this perfect mess when Lindsay was running? I mean, he's running, he's kind of turned around half the time. You got linemen knocking people over, tight ends bouncing off each other. That was some aggressive blocking yesterday.
It was. It was aggressive blocking, and boy, I mean, we all have to give it up to the Broncos' offensive line. In fact, their two tackles are playing better than anyone on their offensive line. And those were the two biggest question marks coming into this season were those tackles. Garrett Bowles has unquestionably stepped up in these first five games for the Broncos. And DeMar Dotson, since he came in for Elijah Wilkinson, he's been a huge upgrade over Elijah Wilkinson. And that was pretty obvious in training camp watching it that he was the better tackle. So I would imagine even when Elijah Wilkinson's healthy that DeMar Dotson will stay there at right tackle. Those guys have been impressive. And then even Dalton Reisner gets hurt in the game. Austin Schlottman comes in, and he plays a flawless game as well. So this offensive line, not just in protecting Drew, but in the running game, has been huge. I mean, there were a couple of times there where Royce Freeman took a carry, and you can't even tell who the running back is because there's just such an easy hole for him to run through for 8 yards.
Yeah, what about Dalton Reisner? What's the status there with his injury?
You know, there's no update there yet with his shoulder. Hoping to find out a little more today. Vic really didn't have an update. He said there's a chance he misses time. There's a chance he doesn't miss time. so about as non-information as possible.
Put him through the jumping jack test. Let's move on. Let's just get to the Chiefs game. Okay, Zach, help me out here, man. I've been saying Albert Okwuegbunam for the whole this. How I'm hearing the broadcast say it way differently. What? How do we say this officially?
Oh, you were closer than the broadcast. That is for sure. The broadcast was so far off. From my understanding, it's Albert Okwuegbunam.
Okay, all right. Yeah, close enough. But I was hearing Ukabunamum and all these crazy things, man. I was like, who's out there for the Broncos? Did they get a new tight end that I'm unaware of?
I kid you not, Brady. I saw it all over Twitter in the first half, just people blasting the broadcast for the mispronunciation. And I'm thinking, I haven't heard the mispronunciation. When I heard it in the third quarter, I realized, oh my gosh, I have been hearing the mispronunciation. I thought they were talking about a Patriots player because it was so bad.
Yeah. No, I was exactly there. I was like, okay, that must be another player like named Ukumubunan or something. And then,
right.
Yeah, three plays later, I'm like, wait, how are they saying this? Just say Alberto. Let's say Alberto and chalk it up. I bring him up for a real reason, though. He had two receptions for 45 yards, but they were going after him. They were looking at him a lot. I was a little shocked by that. With him getting his first action here with Noah Fant being out, I was kind of surprised.
Yeah, and my guess is the plays weren't necessarily dialed up for that. That was all Drew Lock, because those two were together at Missouri for Drew's final two seasons, and Drew Lock loved him, especially in the red zone and the end zone. Drew Lock threw 17 touchdown passes to Albert O in those final two seasons. So when he was on the field, the ball was going to him in this game, and which really did surprise me that he was getting so many opportunities. But it just shows me that chemistry between Drew and Albert O is real. And even with Noah Fant back, of course, Noah Fant is your number one tight end without a doubt. But with Noah Fant back, I think you have to make sure that Albert O is active. And maybe he's not playing a ton, but when you have two tight ends on the field, Nick Vinette has not showed me enough where he has to have that role. Jake Butt is a solid football player, but the chemistry that Drew Lock has with Albert O, he's my number two receiving tight end right now. Just from yesterday's game, did he have some drops? Yes, but I think he can improve on that, and Drew Lock loves him. So if I'm having two receivers on the field in an obvious passing situation, it's Noah Fant and Albert O, and that can create some huge mismatches.
Zach, what about the Melvin Gordon situations? DUI to strep throat. We heard the running backs coach gets COVID. A lot of news surrounding the running backs last week. What does the status look like for him? I hear different reports that the NFL might not rule on this for several weeks. What do the Broncos do in this situation?
Yeah, the NFL won't rule on this until it goes through the court process. And I believe he's not in court until November 13th. So a lot of time until that. But the Broncos aren't going to take extra disciplinary action, at least in terms of like missing games for him. He missed this past game due to strep, and he will be back this week. And the way it's going to look with him back, according to Vic earlier today, is it's going to be just the same as week one. They're going to share the workload between he and Philip Lindsay, and you're going to see both of those guys on the field at the same time. So Melvin, obviously a terrible week for many reasons for him, but when he's back this week, it's going to be the same as the initial plan when they signed it.
Yeah, and I'm still excited to see that plan put together, because I loved what Lindsay did, but I think that combo could be really something special. Zach, what are you working on for us, man, that we can check out in the next couple of days?
Well, I think the Broncos are going to be nearly at full strength this week, and that is absolutely huge, because obviously, you had to have Albert Okwuegbunam out there yesterday because Noah Fant was out. What about KJ Hamler? And so that's why I'm putting together, getting all these names together right now of who the Broncos are going to have for their game. So that'll be up later today, and I think it's going to be very good news, especially the Broncos are a 2-0 team in October, riding a two-game win streak. And, man, I mean, they're a huge underdog against the Chiefs. But if they're at full strength for that game, it's just going to bring even more excitement to this game.
Yeah, what a must-win yesterday, to just kind of keep them alive. Even if they do lose to the Chiefs, you bounce back, you see the Chargers on there, the Falcons there. There's some opportunities there for the Broncos to salvage the early part of this season. So that winning that game yesterday was absolutely crucial.
I completely agree. The Broncos had to win one of the two games between New England and Kansas City, and the obvious one that was way easier to win was against New England, and that was still a very, very tough game. You couldn't lose both of them, be 1-5, and have a realistic shot of turning the season around. You simply couldn't have. So now, if they lose next week, it's okay. They're 2-4, and they have winnable games right after that to get back to .500.
Yeah, no question about it. Zach, appreciate you, my man, and we'll look to catch up with you soon.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, Brady.
All right, man. Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos. Excellent. Excellent beat writer there for on the Broncos side of things. 20 minutes after the hour. Before I break, let me thank Auto Tailor. Today, everything revolves around technology. But having a skilled technician mixed with that technology, that's the home run. Auto Tailor will take care of your vehicle. They take care of mine. They take care of my family's. Folks here at the radio station, I know more and more people that say amazing things about Auto Tailor and Greeley, whether your engine is making a clunking noise, squealing sound, or you just need to get it looked at before you go on a big road trip or something. That's Auto Tailor in Greeley. Tell them we sent you here from the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. All right, we're going to switch gears here. I'm going to talk Preps football. A huge weekend in the Preps radio world. We had a wonderful game in overtime. Roosevelt and Meade. We'll talk to Clark Johnson about that. And around the Preps world as far as Northern Colorado is concerned. 21 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.
Catch Inside the Bear's Den, presented by Chris Musa Agency Allstate Insurance, Tuesday nights. Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA. NoCo now. Weekdays at 4 on Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Twenty-six minutes after the hour, welcome back to the whole show. A lot of Broncos talk today. A lot of football talk on the program. Will CSU and New Mexico play on Saturday? I'm saying I don't think so. And I know you're not supposed to predict what this thing brings. Well, I just did. So I guess we'll see. I don't think it's going to happen on Saturday. Clark Johnson joining me for the Preps Radio Roundup presented by Weld Community Credit Union. Man, you had a huge game on Friday night.
Boy, no doubt about it. One of my favorite places to go to is to Johnstown Friday night. And I know it's COVID and you have half the crowd or whatever, but they were loud and what a game on Friday night.
You go to overtime in this one, too.
Yeah, it's crazy. So number five at that time, I got to check the new rankings, but Roosevelt will move up. They took on number one Meade. And this is a team that is, I mean, Jason Klatt's team is outstanding. The last 5 years, they've been one of the best teams in the state, and they're all about running the football. They win games at the line of scrimmage. And Brady, Friday night, Lane Wassinger's Roosevelt Rough Riders, they won both sides of the football. They stopped the 350-yard-a-game rushing attack of Meade, and they win 21-20, pass from Brig Hartson. And they go to overtime, first play of overtime. Brig Hartson, the quarterback for Roosevelt, lofts a beautiful pass in the corner of the end zone that Keaton Kaiser goes up, and the junior makes a circus catch. They kick the extra point. Then Meade on the first play for them in overtime. They go in for a 10-yard touchdown, and right away I said to Tanner Schmidt, my partner in the broadcast, I said, they're going to go for two. Meade's going for two. They're not coming to Johnstown right, and going to settle for, hey, let's go to overtime two. And they did what their bread and butter was. They gave it to the offensive line. They sent it up the middle, and Roosevelt stuffs the run, Cooper Walton and company, at the one. And I talked to Lane Wassinger on Saturday on the Preps Rewind. He said it's the biggest win we've had there.
Oh, my goodness. What an incredible opportunity in this game to be able to broadcast this one and bring it out. And what, second weekend of Preps football, and
sure,
already one of the big games you'll remember. That's probably already going to be the best game of the season, if not one of the best.
It's like the fourth time, too, in that venue at Peterson Field in Johnstown, where it's come down to the last second play, and Roosevelt always seems to get clipped. So this was a great turnaround. They win this one, and the crowd, the celebrations afterwards were unbelievable.
Check out our CRP 4x4 Player of the Week available there at 1310kfk.com. Yep.
That's Keaton Kaiser, the junior, 11 catches in the ballgame.
Yeah, and then, of course, you can go find the full schedule. What's next on the Preps radio schedule, and find the podcast too. They're sure, always ready to go for you. Check out from the week that was. You had a game on Saturday as well. Highland taking on a team from kind of my neck of the woods,
on
the Lyman Badgers, right? The Badgers.
Yeah,
they're still
the Badgers. Winningest high school football team in the state.
They win everything, I'm pretty
19
sure.
19 high school football state titles.
Wow.
The next is Fort Collins with 12.
I remember years ago, Clark, 10, 15, well, no more than that. They were featured in Sports Illustrated.
Sure.
As one of the top high schools in as far as football goes. And this is a Colorado team we're talking about. So, I mean, kind of forgotten about, Northern Colorado for the most part, but they took care of business on Saturday.
Yeah, they came into Alt, and you keep waiting for this this Highland football team. Love Zach Sandstrom and his club. Holden Morgan's a stud on that team. But you keep waiting for him to be able to play with the Strasburgs and the Lymans and those top teams in the state, and they're still that division, 35-0. And you could see, by the end of the game, you could see why Lyman wins state championships. They just had studs on their team. They're so athletic and so big. You see the division between the two. But, I mean, Highland moved the ball, 3 or 4 great drives in the ball game. They just couldn't finish. So we'll see. 0-2 start for Highland against really tough competition, but in this short season is 0-2. Does that spell your doom?
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't know. 0-3 probably for sure,
probably,
right?
Probably, yeah.
0-2, you're kind of getting into that must-win territory.
They
now
played tough teams, so their RPI is still going to be okay, I think. But, boy, 0-2 start, yep.
How about Loveland, another blowout there. 7th-ranked Loveland just took care of Greeley Central. Holy cow, 51-0. Is that a typo, Clark?
No, it's not. Is Loveland as good as they were in 2018? Probably not. I mean, that's the best high school football team I've seen. But They're awesome again. Jeff Mock's team, 51-0 over Greeley Central. Zach Rakowski, check out this senior. 2 games in so far, he's averaging about .195 on the ground. He has 8 touchdowns in the first 2 games. Their rushing game, just Loveland getting 450 a game on the ground.
Wow!
Try to stop that rushing attack. It's crazy good.
Yeah, if you can get a good running game, well, in any branch of football, I suppose, but in that high school level, if you can run the ball really well, you're going to win a lot of games. Greeley West, tough schedule for them early on, Clark. They had a rough game as well.
Yeah, they've given up 117 points, I think, in the first 2 games.
Boy.
We'll have Jason Renoff's team. It doesn't get any easier because they get Loveland Friday night on our game of the week. So, 51, they got beat 61-20 by Skyline. Remember, it was that year of 2018 when Loveland went to the state championship. They played Skyline in the championship, and I thought, well, here, this is going to be great, and Loveland punched Skyline right in the face. But I tell you what, those are 2 really good teams, Skyline and Loveland. 61-20, Skyline beats West. What's Loveland going to do to West now? How can Jason Renoff Spartans stay in the game Friday night?
So
that's
going to
be the question.
Yeah, with Greeley West, is it more of a they're kind of in a reload period, or is it just the schedule?
Yeah, it's reload. And boy, oh boy, it could come down to Loveland and Skyline and 4A by the time it's all over. We'll find out what it looks like, but boy, murderer's row schedule for the Spartans to open it up.
How about the Patriot League side of things? They had another good one, Eaton and Sterling. They usually have great games against each other. Another good one.
7-0 game last year. Sterling gets the win. They go on to win the state championship. Eaton's got to go there again this year, and they score first. They get a field goal, first drive down, but then Sterling comes back and wins at 14-10. I think the Reds are good, but, that's another team. Can they get to that top level? Can Zach Lemon's team get there? Maybe by the end of the year they do. But this is a really good Patriot League. The East and the West are both good this year.
Clark, down the road, you'll get a chance to see Resurrection Christian on Halloween.
Oh, God, that's going to be fun.
So that's going to be scary. This score is terrifying. 63-0. We're out of Arvada.
Yeah, they've taken apart their first 2 teams and haven't been scored on. It's like 120-0. And I get they've played the poor sisters so far. But it's what Jeff Van Winkle's team does. I mean, they've got a big quarterback, Will Schrotenbauer, who's a junior in there, the lefty can throw, and he's a big kid. So he's kind of like a Roethlisberger to me, that big size body, hard to bring down, so he's able to shut off tacklers and then throw the ball. And you've got the sack master, Tanner Appleby, who's the number 1 sack guy in the state, broke the record last year. He will get the all-time sack record in the state of Colorado this year for career. He's only 4 away right now.
Wow.
So he'll get it, but you're talking about Calais Campbell and some great names in there.
That's
too, that have
incredible,
those sack records.
It?
So I can't wait to see Rez play, and especially when they get to the back side of the schedule and they get those tougher teams. How good is Jeff Van Winkle's team? They could win a title, maybe.
Yeah, wouldn't that be something else? And I know they're on the schedule down the road a few games. Coming up this, as you said, Friday night, Loveland at Greeley West. We'll see, but that's another great team in Loveland. And then on Saturday, you keep going playing these teams around my neck of the woods.
That's right.
Dayspring Christian's not my neck of the woods, but eight-man football. I mean, Cheyenne Wells played them a few times. Yeah. So Marino, little-known
another
fact, played
team.
Them in the championship my junior year, Clark. So
I went out to a game. When I was first at KFK, we went out to Marino and did a championship game one year. We couldn't find anywhere to sit. The winds were howling. They wanted us to go on the top of the third floor. We would have been blown off there. So, yeah, that was fun, though. It was fun to see their announcers, too, because that was like, hey, they give the ball to Jimmy.
That's exactly right.
It's like
the hometown broadcast, man. That's exactly what it is.
But it'll be fun. Day Spring and Marino on Saturday.
Well,
two really
action.
Good teams. Yeah, get to see Christian Still as a senior at Day Spring. So this will be fun on Saturday as well.
Yeah, Clark, we appreciate you. Appreciate Weld Community Credit Union as well.
Absolutely. They're doing this really cool thing. They are sponsoring an app called Zogo. It's a financial literacy app developed by Duke University's behavioral scientists where everyone from kids to adults can earn money while they learn about money. So Weld Community Credit Union, they partner with Zogo to bring it to our community. Don't miss out on the Zogo app. As we said, you can earn money while you learn about money. Access is limited, so download the app, no cost, and go in with the code WELD, WELD, and you'll be able to jump on and you'll learn. And it's a great thing. I think one of the things we need to know is that Weld Community Credit Union, not only they want you to be part of the family, but they want to teach your kids and everybody how to be financially smart. So you can go on their website at WELDCCU.com. They've got great stuff on there to learn about financing, especially for kids growing up. Great rates on auto loans, student loans, credit cards. Call them 330-9728. Love what Weld Community Credit Union does, and it's a family atmosphere when you get in there and be part of the team there.
Yeah, family atmosphere, and of course, helping keeping Preps Radio and live and local radio rocking and rolling too. Yep. So Clark, excellent, loving the game so far, man. We'll see if Greeley West can put up a little bit of a fight on Friday. But
Jason
Brennan,
one of our favorite
great
guys,
dude.
Too. So
yeah, excellent guy. Love the schedule this year too. You guys did a great job. Only a few weeks, I mean, short weeks, but you found a way to get a bulk of these Northern Colorado teams on that list.
Yeah, hard to get everybody in there this year in the limited COVID time, especially with schedules bouncing around like they did such at the end. But, looked like we got at least a touch of everybody this year.
36 minutes after the hour, Clark Johnson. Appreciate you, my friend. All right, when we come back, we're going to round up the best of the NFL. Some of the stories that stook out to me, maybe not the best because some of them are pretty rough. 37 minutes after the hour, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA, the Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
Tuesday on Mornings with Gail, Professor Ann Hendershot, author of The Politics of Envy, on the left's scorched earth response to Amy Coney Barrett. Join us 6 to 9.
Another very interesting weekend in the world of the NFL, and we have two more games to go for Monday Night Football, so I'm looking forward to that. I do want to shout out to Fresh Coat Painter South Platte. We got the Nuggets gift bag, got a hoodie in there with Nikola Jokic down the back side with the number 15 there. Comes with a couple of koozies there and banners. That Nuggets no parking, Nuggets parking only that you can put up somewhere. A lot of cool things, and the bag it comes in, the gym bag too. So awesome gift package there, about $120 worth of Nuggets memorabilia. Thanks to Fresh Coat Painter South Platte, and you got the mini cooler. We put that in the bag, but they're also giving away several mini coolers. A free cooler if you just give them a call and say you heard about them right here on the whole show. Or 1310 KFKA, that's 970-414-4131. You want a free mini cooler? Well, that's one way to get that job taken care of. Scratch that off your list. Fresh Coat Painters of South Platte. Colfax, let's get to it, man. It was there was a lot of storylines developing in the weekend that was when it came to the NFL. And again, we have two more games tonight, so I'm curious that Chiefs-Bills game, something else. But let me start here. King Henry. Derrick Henry, 22 carries, 212 yards, two touchdowns. He ended it. Deshaun Watson knew at the coin flip, when they lost the coin flip, he knew they were going to lose to the Titans because they were going to give it to Derrick Henry, who just kept rolling. And only he did it on 22 carries. Just 22 carries. Got him 212 yards. I mean, the Texans, you got to hand it to them. They've looked better the last 2 weeks with Romeo Crennel, but Titans are 5-0. They remain undefeated, one of the only undefeated teams in the league. I have no idea, Colfax. I think I cursed this team, or they cursed me. I picked against them so much last year, and let me, this for the record, I never pick against a stud running back. I love watching Derrick Henry play. The dude is special. He's fast. He's big. He's determined. He's everything you want in a stud running back, and he's worth every penny. You can't say that about every running back nowadays. He's making about $12.5 million a year. He's the best running back in the league by far. Titans win 42-36. They're 5-0. Another, just a kind of a side note for me. Colts came all the way back against the Bengals. Colts were down 14-0 early, but they put on 21 points in the second, 131-27. Phillip Rivers is getting the job done in Indy. 29 for 44, 371 yards, 3 touchdowns. And the Colts are somehow 4-2 and after a scare, thinking they're going to lose to the Bengals. The battle of the bads. Falcons-Vikings. The Falcons beat the Vikings for their first win, 40-23. Kirk Cousins said, hey, if I don't get it better, I'm probably not going to finish the season. So either that's going to happen or I get better. That makes me excited to watch Vikings games. He's either going to get better or he's not. All right, cool. Browns-Steelers. I'm not going to do the whole I told you so thing yet because the Browns are still 4-2 and they went up against another team that's undefeated in the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's really rocking right now. But did they get a wake-up call? We bring the Browns back down to earth. Baker gets benched for Colfax's guy just in case Keenum. And it was a good thing they had him because I think Baker was toast. I think he was done. 38-7, Pittsburgh wins. Big Ben didn't have to do much. 14 for 22, 162 yards and a touchdown. They didn't need him to do a lot. They were firing on all cylinders yesterday. Minka Fitzpatrick was sensational. And the Steelers are now 5-0. And don't adjust your headset or your TV set or your ESPN, whatever you're looking at. The Chicago Bears are 5-1. They're 3-0 on the road. They beat the Carolina Panthers, who have been a nice surprise without Christian McCaffrey. But a guy that I was high on last week in Mike Davis struggled. 2.9 yards per carry. Teddy Bridgewater struggled too. But Nick Foles, hey, didn't have a great game. 198 yards, a touchdown, a pick. Whatever. That's okay. But this defense was sensational yet again. They forced a couple of fumbles. They're getting they got 2 interceptions. They are, this is a tough, tough, feisty defense. 4 sacks on the day. So, hey, don't look now. But the Chicago Bears are a decent football team. They're 5-1. Jets, Dolphins, you know, not an amazing story there. I mean, 24-0. The Jets are just really, really bad. I don't know how Coach Gase still has a job there, but you did get to see Tua Tagovailoa come in because Ryan Fitzpatrick needed a break from the beatdown he was putting on the Jets. Tua had 9 yards passing, but what came after was pretty cool. He sat in the middle of the field and to an empty stadium and just kind of sat there, took in the moment because he was hurt, you know, a year ago, and you were wondering if he was ever going to make it to this point when he played in an NFL game. So he had that opportunity. I liked that moment. That was cool. Buccaneers, Packers, Colfax, his starting quarterbacks on fantasy are Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady. Colfax, please tell me you played.
Tom Brady.
Tommy B. I mean, it wasn't a great game, but 2 touchdowns, 166 yards, whatever. He didn't throw any. It was just one of those games where he was efficient. Didn't have to do anything because this defense was really good. He didn't throw any interceptions. He didn't get sacked. So, I mean, you take that. You ran the ball well. Your defense was great. And Gronkowski got a touchdown to boot. So anytime Gronk gets a touchdown, that's a good day. 5 sacks for Tampa Bay. And Aaron Rodgers, he was sacked 4 times. They did bring Tim Boyle in, who got sacked as well, but he threw 2 picks. Rough day for Aaron Rodgers. And that's a wrap for at least Sunday's portion of football games. We get back to somewhat of a regular schedule next week. But as for tonight, you got 2 Monday night football games, and that Bills-Chiefs game seems really, really interesting. Both teams trying to bounce back after losses. They were part of the undefeated crew. Then you have the Cardinals-Cowboys. You got Andy Dalton taking over for Dak Prescott, and the Cardinals have been a pretty good surprise with Kyler Murray there. 49 minutes after the hour, we'll wrap up the show with closing thoughts next.
From UNC, CU, and CSU to the Nuggets, Rockies, and Broncos, The Hull Show is Colorado's sports talk show on 1310 KFKA and 1310KFKA.com. Dan Patrick, The Hull Show, and Colin Cowherd are on Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hey, Nugget fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour, 6 minutes until the top of the hour. It's Monday, Colfax, which means we'll have Monday Night Football on for you tonight. Looking forward to it. As always, getting you set, wrap up your week of football so that we can hurry up and do it all over again on Thursday. I believe we're going to get back to Thursday Night Football again, so I'm excited for that. Our game beer of the week from On the Rocks Liquor is from Crabtree Brewing. I love Crabtree. It's an oatmeal stout. Pick up selections from Crabtree or any of your favorite adult beverages. Use the drive-thru. It's open until midnight every single night. Their store lobby is open now from 9 to 9 p.m. as well. All right, my closing thoughts for the day. My game ball goes to Shelby Harris. I know the popular pick is to say it's Brandon McManus. Even Philip Lindsay, and Philip Lindsay was close, but I thought Shelby Harris kind of got some momentum going. And I love the chaos that this defensive line is creating up front. And I want to get into more of that. I want to delve more into the defense tomorrow on tomorrow's program. It is a Top Text Tuesday. We have one guy that could win it, and that is Sir Charles. Sir Charles could win the Nuggets gift bag tomorrow. We have a few guys in the mix, but Sir Charles has two. You know the rules. You got to get to three. And then we'll reload it again with a new prize. That's going to do it for us. We'll be back at it on a Tuesday, on a Top Text Tuesday. The Herd with Colin Cowherd's next, followed by NoCo Now with Tanner Schwinn. Good night, Northern Colorado.